1-2-3. Welcome to Security Guy Radio at not-so-beautiful Orlando, Florida. I got to say, a little wet, but welcome to the show, Mr. Simon. How you been?
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, very good. Yeah, good. Since we last saw you, so I Skyped in from Australia that time.
That's right. Now, give us the name of your company.
So it's Snap Surveillance.
Snapsurveillance.com.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Video surveillance software. So basically, I guess if we come back to the problems that we're looking at, I mean, as you've seen around the show, the camera technology is ever increasing while the cameras are getting cheaper.
It's crazy.
Storage is going nuts, petabytes of storage and so on. So you've got these better and better systems in security control rooms and so on. At the end of the day, you still need a human to get the value out of that,
right.
And the human's not really changing. So the problem, our focus is really around how do we make life easy for that human operator to get value out of that ever increasingly big and complex, you know, video surveillance system.
So you're not a video management system per se.
No, that's right. So
function with it.
Exactly right. So we integrate on top of, most of the sort of the well-known names, the Milestone, Genetec, Avigilon, these sort of video management systems. So if you like, we're a bolt-on that says, okay, they're really good at doing a lot of the generic kind of display functions, the storage functions, all those sort of things. But we'll come in when that operator, be it in a crisis mode, in an active situation, or even when they're just going back trying to review incidents continually from footage, is make their life a lot easier by essentially what we call computer-assisted tracking, I suppose.
Okay.
You know, so that's kind of our piece.
Yeah, I remember we did the demo, I think it was ISC, and, you know, I'm going to do a demo for people on here and explain it in my little Security Guy Radio brain way. Let's pretend these are all cameras, and let's pretend somebody's walking through, and I'm a guard at the desk and watching camera 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Well, on camera 1, you're full face, but on camera 6, I'm just seeing the back end of your tail walking through because that's what the image is.
Yeah.
Just so happens that it's not tied into a same view. And the trick is, how do I track you throughout this entire facility? I can't really do it manually very quickly. I can visually watch. But in a real-life situation, we're talking to active shooters, we're talking to an intruder, we're talking to somebody prowling for your business, the need for speed is ever-increasing, right? So we got to be able to say, push the button with your software, and now let's start recording this guy, and let's analyze it. Here's Simon. We're going to follow Simon with your software, and we're going to record him as we go. Well, now we got something we can do in real time with that video and use it.
Well, that's right, because at the moment, even if you've got really good experienced operators, what you're relying on is their recall on, I know where every camera is, I know the right video view, so I can go to camera 25 lobby east, or I can pull up this right view.
Can't be done anymore.
Now, that relies on those guys being really experienced. A lot of the time, video surveillance is one of their jobs, or they're rotating from job to job. Or, of course, as you say, if you've got an active shooter or something, then all bets are off once you're in a crisis
mode. And I just talked to Hitachi. And they have some VMS software that manages 10,000 cameras at one client.
I mean,
heck can you track anybody with 10,000 cameras?
Exactly right. So we are just, we're guiding the operator. Still the operator looking and going, well, you know, I've got three views here, and in fact, I can see them there. I'll make the decision. But we're just showing you, if you've got 10,000 cameras, we're only showing you the three or four or one or two cameras that are relevant.
That have
so
that guy in it.
The operator's always seeing, okay, that's the spot where I'm looking. Bang, that's a better view. Click, click, track. So,
and then it records it.
Yeah, so we can stitch that together into a movie in real time. That's right. So the video management system is still doing all of the recording that it's doing. So it's the primary recorder.
Right.
But we're allowing essentially a movie to be stitched of whatever that operator is doing as they follow someone from camera to camera. So just allowing a really simple recording on the fly of the incident they're reviewing or the person they're following.
Now, I'll tell you why I love this. And this is so important, especially for guard operators and people like that, because the guy at the front line is going to be a guard watching a camera. He may escalate this up if there's some kind of incident, but at first he needs to respond to it. I was just walking around here with my little phone, and I have a live stream account. And I was walking up to people's booths, and I was saying, hey, Simon, you want to be on Security Guard Radio? Sure. And we went live, and we did like a one-minute video. And then I could tweet that video out right away. Hmm. And now I got, 10,000 people on Twitter seeing your video live from here. Your software is kind of like that. In other words, I'm grabbing some data that I need now, and since I have this video file, I can send that to somebody. I can say, be on the lookout, hey, police, here's the guy inside your building we're looking for, even before the police get there. And as the police get more sophisticated, these things will go to their police car before they arrive. They'll have a video of what's going on inside the incident. This is, your product is in the here and now, but I see so many future applications for it and future uses that are coming. They're going to come of age with this.
Well, that's right. I reckon we touched on it briefly when we last did this, which was, this isn't part of our solution, but, you know, if we work with the likes of the facial recognition, the biometrics guys and so on, when they can see a face and spot a face, and then eventually we'll get to a point where it'll be a lot easier. You know, you look at, for example, the Boston Marathon and trying to piece together all that. Now, this isn't our solution, but, you know, as part of an overall framework, you can plug all these pieces together, and then you'll start to get to a point where you can go, well, we know we saw him here, and we know the path of cameras that he can go through, so let's find him here and here and here, and then, hey, presto, we've found where they started or who they met with or which car they got in or, you know, those sort of things. So.
Now, I'm sensing some predictability with this. You know, is that a possible future component?
Well,
in other words, if the guy, let's say the guy comes in the building and he's been in the building four or five times and you know that he usually hits cameras 1, 7, 5, and 9, maybe we can get ready for him the next time and program cameras 1, 5, and 7, 9 to start carving it out before he gets there.
So we're a little more agnostic than that. What we care about is really the camera network and how all the cameras relate to each other. That's really our key bit of learning.
Right.
We work out camera relationships. What's happening inside those cameras is that can change all the time. We're sort of immune to that, but it also means we're relying on the operator to work out what's going in the scene. We're just showing him how that relates to the other cameras that are around. So
talk about the learning part, because if I change camera 7, your software is going to know about that. Your software is going to relearn camera 7.
That's right. So we can sit in the background and we can watch for how you're changing your network.
Right.
You're adding cameras in, moving cameras around, then we can have a background learning mode where we're looking for that. We don't, having said that, want to have too many PTZs in there that are moving around all the time because we can't reference them.
Oh, so, yeah, that makes sense.
So ideally now, and this is the way networks are going, but a big dense network of fixed cameras is a lot better from our point of view, because you've got fixed frames of reference in the fields of view, and so we learn those relationships a lot more
cleanly. You don't hear people talk about PTZs anymore.
Well, you look at it now, most of the customers we deal with, as the PTZ fails, they tend to pull it out and put in like a multi-head. You know, you look at the camera technology you can buy now, and it's amazing what you can get for the money compared to the traditional PTZs.
I spent $1,500 on a PTZ because it saved me 3 cameras.
Mm.
But I also got the guard goofing around, zooming in on the girl in the booth. And that caused all kinds of problems too, right?
So, that's right. And you never know what you've recorded and what you've missed, because if you're zoomed in over there, you're missing everything over there.
And so, now with those little cameras, you set up high-resolution stuff at a doorway and stuff, getting a bigger view and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, scalability. How many cameras could you guys learn?
So to a degree, it's not limited if you've got sort of a federated network where we can run on different networks. But our largest site at the moment is close to 2,000 cameras.
2,000 cameras.
So,
and your system knows the relationships between each camera.
That's right. So,
wow.
So we tend to do that learning up front. So in normal operation, we're not learning all the time. We don't have to be. We can do that background learning.
Right.
But normally, if we're doing a big camera network like that, we'll learn up front. That might take us 3 or 4 weeks to learn. And then normal operation is fairly non-intensive in terms of the computer heart. The learning process is quite intensive, but once we've learnt it, then you can kind of push the button and go, and then you just get our operator interface.
I'm a buyer, and my concern is going to be, well, I'm sticking another thing on my network, and it's going to slow down my recording. Is it going to slow down? The answer is no, and explain why.
So basically, we're not doing any additional recording, right? And
right.
So you're already pulling everything back to the VMS. We are plugging in on top of the VMS. So we may be pulling an additional low resolution stream during learning, but that's you know, a few percentage on the bandwidth consumption at most, and that's only during learning. Once we're in normal operation, we're essentially just another client. We're another operator that's pulling a few streams, and that's
Cool.
So the overall demand is not that significant. No.
And we can run the learning on cameras in this building, and as is in Anaheim, and as is in Germany, all at the same time. As long as it's on that network.
That's right. So we would probably
consider those 3 places, 3 locations, one network.
Well, that's absolutely. So provided we've got, that's all about if you're able to pull the cameras into a remote site or wherever,
right.
then we can see them at that site and learn them. That's right. So, I mean, and this becomes particularly effective from our point of view because if you've got someone trying to actually monitor at those sites, then they won't probably have ever been to those sites. They won't know the layout. They won't know the camera positions. And that's where you get a particular advantage with us because if you're remotely managing a site, we take away the need to know, you know, camera layout, position, you know,
well,
all those other
sort of things. Global security operation centers, you know, I just had my old PD, Cobra City PD, just outsourced their dispatch center.
Yeah, right.
The dispatchers are dispatching calls for police officers in the city of Cobra City, but they don't live or work there. They're at some other place, who knows where, downstairs in a basement, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that it's the same kind of concept. And you lose, if you don't have that ability to understand what you're looking at, you can't make a good decision. But your software is taking that guesswork out because you're saying, I know all the relationships between these cameras.
That's
all
right. You so I'm going to coach you, basically. Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, you look at so many of these systems, and they're built by experts, designed by experts, but they're not being used by experts, right?
That's a great way to say it.
And that's the whole thing.
That's true, yeah.
So your power users are the installers, the integrators, maybe even your system supervisor, security supervisor. He may well be the one who set up the whole network.
Right.
But he's not the one using it. And you know, the control rooms I go into and quite often the supervisors are really frustrated because they're watching the guys who are actually using the system. He's saying, no, go to that view, go to that view.
Right.
But, you know, they're stumbling their way through it. And
now, how easy is it? I'm a guard. I just got trained. I'm new to the business. I'm going to train you on your system. Let's say these are all our cameras here. And for our podcast viewers, it's my beautiful new silky golden blue security guard radio backdrop with my badge on it. And these represent cameras. Can I literally... Let's say Simon comes into camera one. Do I just like click a button and say, that's the guy I want to follow, and then your system takes over and does it?
No, so we're probably the important point to clarify. So we're not an automated tracker. We're not clicking on that guy and it starts to automatically bring them up. What you're doing is you're clicking on that camera and saying, that's the guy, and then we bring up all the other cameras that relate to that area.
Okay,
so,
good point.
Or that overlap or neighbor it. So that if he starts to walk off this way, we'll basically say, here's the feed of the camera in that direction. It's still the operator clicks on it, right? The automated tracker would be the holy grail if you could do it.
Yeah.
But in reality, most situations are like this, or an airport or a hospital, where you've got, you know, tens, hundreds of people in a scene. So,
well, it's semi-automatic.
Right, the best person to still pick that out is a human eyeball Mark One kind of thing. So your
software
picking out going, right,
prompting
I can see I've got three views here that relate. That's the one. Click. We're always bringing up the set of views relevant to wherever you are in a facility at any point in time. Yeah.
How does it look on camera to an operator? Is it like, you know, now the screen has a green rim around it, or what prompts them to understand that?
Yeah, so we have colored buttons to say, if you're here and you know, this guy's here, if he clicks in there, it'll say, well, in that region,
here's the
two relevant color cameras, and they get lit up. So they get colored, you know, color mapped to say, these two cameras are the ones that relate to this area. If he heads this way and you click there, this camera over here is the camera he's going to walk into or the camera he's currently in.
So very visual, easy to
use. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what we find is we tended to initially allow a couple of hours of sort of operator training on this, and then guys were getting it in the first 5 minutes and then just started playing with it. So, I mean, it's generally designed. I mean, it's kind of like the, you know, these days the iPhone principle. You can pick up, you know, a good phone now. You pick up and you kind of go, well, this is how I think it should work. I mean, that's a little bit the way we've tried to build this is to say it's kind of just... It's what you think should happen is sort of how we try and make it happen.
Intuitive,
so, yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Affordable for anybody?
Yeah, I mean, we design more for your larger camera networks.
Okay.
So, you know, hundreds plus up to thousands, which means we normally, we integrate with the higher end video management system. So like, for example, on a Milestone, they have a corporate. On Genetec, you have Security Desk, Security Center. They're the higher end. And so we're not designed for a, you know, a 20 camera low end, you know, sort of system. But yeah, given that,
rich.
And then we're normally a fraction of the price of the VMS. So, you know, we may be a 20, 25% of the price of the VMS, something like that as an add-on. Yeah.
And do we have to buy you at the time I buy my VMS, or am I easy to come and bolt it on afterwards?
That's a good question. No, we are a pretty simple retrofit. So we can... We're seeing some new systems now where we're being specified in, but a lot of the time we're an upgrade onto an existing system, and it's a pretty simple bolt-on. So, yeah, absolutely.
Good. Excellent. Yeah. Simon Langsford.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate your time again. So,
give us your website.
I love the site. www.snapsurveillance.com.
Snapsurveillance.com, located in Australia.
Yeah, we are out of Australia.
Yeah, you got any offices here in the United States?
Not yet. I have a BD rep over here on and off, but yeah, it's at the moment we're still looking at. We tend to engage more through resellers, so I have a couple of very good local integrators at the moment I'm working with and trying to build that up.
Well, I'm a big fan, and if I ever get to Australia, or maybe you want to bring me down, we'll do a live stream party about the next big thing. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I love this product. It's one of my favorites. It's really, it's intuitive, it makes sense, and it's something that we really need in the business, because we need to go from, you know, real time, which is kind of a fake term nowadays, right, to actual real time. And this is going to give us some video that's recorded that we can actually use and get out to law enforcement or HR or somebody to solve the problem.
Yeah, that's right. Loss prevention is fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Simon, thanks for coming on. It's a great day.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Good on you.
Thanks.
Oh, that's good one.